Second Psalm together, Psalms chapter 72, and we're going to read the entire Psalm together, and I'm going to give you some thoughts about our Christian life from this wonderful Psalm. Psalm chapter 72, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Let's look at it together. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." By the way, that's the verse they used when establishing the nation Canada, Dominion of Canada. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. And the kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live to him, and to him shall he be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made of him continually, and daily shall he be praised. And there shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, and fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. And they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Verse 20 says, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to study your word together this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that you would give us truths to help us in our life as we endeavor to bring glory to your wonderful name. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're a Bible student this afternoon, you really quickly realize that Psalm 72 is written by David, the king of Israel, to his son Solomon, and it is a psalm written by a king about a coming king. This is speaking here of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, David is writing to his son, and this is what David wants established in his kingdom. And this is really what we look at in this this psalm, in these 20 verses. Now, again, as we think about the context of the psalm, David is the king. He's writing to Solomon, his son who would be king. And he's writing about a coming king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest king of all. And one day, Jesus is going to rule, and this is what will be established when Jesus, the true king, is ruling in this earth. We often sing the hymn, "Joy to the World," and it has become associated with Christmas, but I mentioned this before. Originally, "Joy to the World" is nothing to do with the first coming of the Lord Jesus and his birth. It actually was written in contextually about him coming to rule and to reign. And "Joy to the World, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king." It was written about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. "And every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing." And so joy to the world is Christ coming to this earth and ruling and reigning. Now, there's an interesting expression that we have as we read Psalm 72 and we read about Jesus as king and all that would happen, all that will happen and be established on this earth when Jesus, the rightful king, is in place. But then we come to verse 20, and it's an interesting way to end this psalm. It just says here, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And it's an interesting expression that we have in this passage of Scripture. Now, we understand that the conversation that David had did not end. We continually read in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 150, we read about Psalms written about Jesus, the mighty King. And so the conversation of Jesus or about Jesus did not end in Psalm 72. But here the Bible says the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, have ended. And so it's an interesting expression, and I want to just kind of define what the Bible is talking about here and what this all means. Now, David had a desire for his kingdom. And we know this from the very beginning. David wanted his kingdom. Now, don't miss this. David wanted his kingdom the way that God wanted his kingdom. And we read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 8. When God took Saul from the kingdom and placed David, the Bible says in Psalm 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8, "Now therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel." In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And he shall build an house for my name, and shall establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now, this is not David's kingdom, because we know David's kingdom was not forever. This is prophetically speaking of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of David would be forever, because through the lineage of David would come a Savior, a Messiah, and his kingdom would have no end. In verse 14, the Bible says, "And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men," which took place in David's ministry and David's life. "But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, but whom I put away from thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. My throne shall be established forever." Now, what kind of king was David? What was the heart of David? Well, the Bible teaches us in 2 Samuel 13, verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." That's speaking of Saul. "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Now, there are people who take that passage of Scripture or that expression that David was a man after his own heart, God's own heart, and they say, well, how in the world could that be when David committed sin, he committed murder? I mean, there was a point in David's kingdom where he was a mess. I mean, they say for a year he was running from God, that God was chastening him. And for a year we come to Psalm 51 where he repents of that sin and gets right with God. And so there was a point in his ministry, in his life, where David was running from God and God was chastening him. And people say, well, how can David be a man after God's own heart? But we have to understand what that expression means. It doesn't mean that David was perfect, because we know that he wasn't. But that thought there, that David was a man after God's own heart, was simple. David wanted what God wanted. David wanted his kingdom the way that God wanted the kingdom to be. And that was David's heart. That was David's desire. He was a man after God's own heart. And God help us, each of us today as believers, to have that same desire. You know, we're not perfect. But it ought to be our desire to have our home, to have our life, the way that God wants our home and our life. That God wants us to be a man or a woman after his own heart. And the Apostle Paul understood this and the significance of this when he wrote about Timothy, his son in the faith. He said this, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." And Paul understood there was a man named Timothy that sought after the Lord. He wanted what God wanted. He sought the heart of God. And this is what the Bible is talking about. This is what David prayed for. This is what David longed for. David wanted his kingdom to be what God wanted for his life. And this would never come to pass until the true king showed up. This would never come to pass until Jesus was ruling and reigning. And that's why he says in this passage of scripture, "My desire, my prayer is ended. When Jesus sits on the throne, everything I wanted will come to pass. Everything that was my heart's desire will be in place." And so that is what Psalm 72 is all about. It is a prayer, a desire of David that David wanted what God wanted in his kingdom and in his life. Now, I understand that this is future, and this is during the millennial reign, and prophetically speaking, Psalm 72 is David looking far ahead at a reigning Savior. He's looking far ahead of the millennial reign. But as we think about the illustration for our life today, we can have the reign of the Lord in our life today as we give Him control of our life. And I think it's important for us to understand that it ought to be our desire, and I hope that it is your desire, that you want Christ to reign in your life. You want Christ on the throne in your life. And the wonderful illustration of Psalm 72 is what this looks like. When you allow Christ to reign in your life, this is what your life will look like. This is what the Bible illustrates it as. So I'm going to give you some thoughts here from Psalm 72. It won't be long, but I just want to give you some simple principles of when Christ reigns in your life, what that looks like in a Christian, all right? So number one, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? We see that his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. And righteousness meaning doing what is right, doing what is just. When a Christian allows Christ to be in the throne of their life, they don't go their way. They don't do their thing. They're interested in what God wants. They're interested in righteousness. They're interested in God's purpose and plan. Now look what the Bible says in Psalm 72, verse 1. It says, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son," doing what God says is right. David is saying, listen, I'm going to take the righteousness or the law of God, and I'm going to give that law to my son. This is important. This is what God says is right. This is what God says is just. And you have to have what God says is right. In verse number 2, "He shall judge the people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break to pieces the oppressor." When Jesus reigns in our life, when he is on the throne of our life, then we want to live righteous lives. We want to do what is right, and not what is pleasing to me, but what is pleasing to him. We want him to be honored. We want him to be glorified with the life that we live. Number one, his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. Number two, his reign is without end. His reign is without end. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. "They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations." You know, some Christians will say, well, I had a time, you know, I had a time in my life when Jesus had his rightful place. I had a time in my life when I served the Lord. And to many Christians, the Christian life is a history lesson. You know, this is what I did. This is how I served. This is what I used to do. But the Christian life must always be lived in the present tense. The Lord must reign in our life today. We must serve the Lord today. The Bible says in verse 6, he will come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Listen, the Lord wants us to serve him today with gladness. He wants us to give our lives to him today. And we find in this passage of scripture, prophetically speaking, that the kingdom of the Lord will have no end, that he will reign and he will rule in the hearts of his people. And God wants to rule and reign in our lives today. He doesn't want our Christian life to be a history lesson. He wants to have preeminence in our life today. He wants to have control in our life today. But also we see thirdly that his kingdom is universal. We see in verse number 8 that he reigns everywhere. In verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. And again, this is the establishment of our nation, Canada. We were established on biblical principles. Of course, we don't see that a lot today in our world. But from dominion, from sea to sea, as we think of a nation that was built upon this biblical principle that Christ would have reign, that Christ would have control. But the same is true for our life today. The Lord wants to have control in every area of our life. And oftentimes what we do is we break our life up into compartments, right? We have different compartments that we kind of have for our life. And this is my part, and this is God's part, and he can have this part, but he cannot have this part, right? And that's how, we may not say that, but that's how we think. We have various areas of our life where we will easily surrender to the Lord, but there are other areas that we want for ourselves. And yet the Bible teaches us that God wants our life. He wants all of it. He doesn't want separate compartments. He wants it as a whole. He wants us to serve him as a whole. And God wants us to surrender to him. He wants us to surrender to him. And as we surrender to the Lord, then God can use us in a greater capacity. You know the story of Simon Peter. When Simon Peter, you know, kind of said to the Lord, they were fishing, they caught nothing. And I mean, he was a trained tradesman. He was a professional in what he did. I mean, he had fished the Sea of Galilee for years. He knew how to fish. He had made a living from fishing. And he had fished all night. He had caught nothing. And Jesus said, Peter, I want you just to take your net and I want you to put it on the other side. And he was like, Lord, listen, we fished all night. We've done this before. There just isn't any fish today. I mean, listen, Lord, we can do that, but it's not going to make a difference. And so he said, nevertheless, they put down their net, not complete faith, but they put down their net. And the Bible says that they caught such a great catch that they had to get all the other ships in to gather up what God had supplied. I'm saying to you that when you build your life in compartments and say, hey, this is mine and this is God, this is mine and this is God, God cannot bless you the way he wants to. You have to surrender everything to the Lord, little as much when God is in it. And when God takes what we have, like that boy's lunch, just a small lunch, and yet he gave it to God, and God blessed it, and God used it. And so we have to surrender our life to the Lord. And the nearer we get to the Lord, we see this come true in our life over and over again. But we see number 4 also here in this text, as we think of the reign of the Lord Jesus, prophetically speaking, but then also practically speaking in our life, that we see a kingdom of compassion. Look what the Bible says in verse number 12. The Bible says, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and then him that hath no helper. I think as we think of the kingdom, the coming kingdom of the Lord, we really see the heart of God. And the heart of God is a heart of compassion. He's a God who wants to help. He's a God who loves us and cares about us. And if we are going to allow the Lord to reign in our life, then that compassion is going to shine through. That compassion is going to be seen in our life. We're going to care about people. We're going to care about the hurts of people. We're going to care about the needs of people. And the Bible says even those who have no helper, those who are lost, those who have no help and no way, the King of the world, the God of heaven, is going to be there to instruct and to help those in need. His kingdom will be a kingdom of compassion, and God help us today to be a people of compassion. We see number five here, it is a kingdom of blessed people. It is a kingdom of blessed people. Look what the scripture says in verse number 15. The Bible says, and he shall live, and to him shall he be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. And there shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. The earth has never known such blessing that when the true king is on the throne. And the Bible says that we can be that experience that blessing in our life as well, as we allow the Lord to be in our life, controlling and leading and reigning. I want us to turn to the book of Genesis. Can we turn there? Genesis chapter 12. And notice in this passage of scripture, the life of Abraham or Abram in the scripture here. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 1. God had called Abraham to go to a place he had no idea where he was going. And he stepped out by simple faith, trusting God and following the Lord. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, we know the Abrahamic covenant is speaking of the coming of the Savior, the Messiah. And that one day the Savior would come. He would come first as a baby in Bethlehem. He would die on a rugged cross to redeem humanity. But then that Savior, that Messiah, would come again. And he would not come as a humbled Savior, but as a reigning king. And his reign would bring blessing. But here in this passage of scripture, God is saying, Abraham, listen, Abraham, I want you to step out by faith. I want you to trust God. I want you to believe God, and I am going to make you a great nation. And because of your obedience, I'm going to bless the world through a Savior, a Messiah. Listen, as we think of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is truly a kingdom of blessing. As we allow the Lord to reign in our life today, God wants to bless you. You know, many people look at the Christian life and they think, well, that's just a life of no joy. That's just a life of, you know, rules and regulations. That's how they see it. But listen, that is farthest from the truth. We are not under the law. We are free in Jesus. But there are things that we do and don't do, not because we are forced to do them, but because we love God, because we do what is right, because of who he is for us and what he has done for us. And the reality is we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. God has blessed us with so much. And when we give God the rightful place in our life, God will bless us. Now listen to me. When we think of blessing, the first thing we think of is financial blessing. Well, if I tithe, if I give to the Lord, he'll bless me financially. And there is a Bible principle and passage on that. But listen, God's blessing is far more than financial money or all of those things. And yet, in times past, there have been people who have surrendered to the Lord and said, listen, I'm going to give to God. I'm not going to ask anything in return, but I'm going to give to God, and God bless them. I think of Clark's Shoes, started by a Christian. His whole desire was he wanted to start a company so that he could get the gospel out. And God blessed Clark's Shoes. I believe I own a pair of Clark's Shoes today. Cadbury candy bar, Cadbury, it was started by a Christian who God had laid upon his heart to start a business to to get the gospel out. Heinz ketchup, if you ever use Heinz ketchup, started by a Christian businessman whose desire was to get the gospel out. Quaker Oats, started by Christians who wanted God to bless their business so that they could get the gospel out. And they allowed Christ to reign in their life and in their business. They put God first, and God blessed them in an incredible way. But God blessed them far more than just money or financial gain. God's blessing and God's joy was evident in their life. God's favor was in their life. And so when we come to Psalm 72, this is what the Bible is talking about. David is looking at the reign of the Lord. His desire, his heart's desire, was that his kingdom would be what God wanted it to be. And when he prophetically writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus Christ, the rightful king, is on the throne and everything is the way that it ought to be, he says, my desire is ended. My prayer is done. This is my heart's desire. And God help us today. I hope your heart's desire, I hope honestly your heart's desire is that you want what God wants in your life. And I hope that you will allow Christ to reign in your life in this year and see God's blessing flourish in your day-to-day activities. God help us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. We're grateful for the opportunity.